Okay, we only have an hour and a half, and now we have an hour and 20 minutes. So I'm going to convene us, and I'd like to give you my game plan, and then we'll go around and say our names, and then of me, it's okay. Melanie's asking about taking pictures. Does anybody here not want a picture taken? Everybody okay with it?
Yeah, I'd like to take some too.
Okay, so everybody's giving permission. All right, that's fine. Then we'll do introductions, and then we'll go for it. So my little game plan here is that I actually wrote a primer, which I've been meaning to do for years, and I did. And you're welcome to take more than one copy if you have anyone to share it with. And I put draft on it because it doesn't have all its typos corrected for one thing, and for another, you all could give me feedback, and that would be great, because I want to have a basic primer that I take out in the world, and maybe I've chosen points that aren't the right ones, and I'd love to have your feedback. So that's coming around, and I'm going to present for about 20 minutes based on this primer, which you can read now or not. I mean, I get really confused about having a written thing and a spoken thing, and I'd rather you have my attention, your attention on my speaking, and then take the primer home with you. But then, I'd like to open it to others who are here who have nuggets to offer, because this primer is the basics, and Nukes 101 can be the full gamut. So we'll sort of check in with people at that point, and then Glenn's going to facilitate our discussion, question and answer time. So, let's do names. I'm Mary. Rock and roll. All right.
I don't have very many of them. You get one.
Okay. But that's a reminder to call me. Everybody can have them eventually. I'll get some more. All right. Welcome. Bring more chairs around. I guess there's a couple already here.
This one is still unoccupied.
Yeah. I have a chair.
Listen up for a minute.
Did the handout get all the way around? Do I have them here? Maybe I do.
It did.
Okay. I'm going to send them again to the people who are arriving. Maybe, Karen, would you help keep track of giving? Okay. We live in the nuclear heartland. When people move to the mountains, they think they're getting away from everything, but in fact, home is where the heart is. This is Asheville, and the mountains are pretty much ringed by radioactive emitters. They call it the clean energy. It's total bullshit. There's radioactivity coming out of each of these facilities. These are not geographically or, to scale, but the cooling tower is really the symbol of both coal and nukes, and I'd love to get the coal factories up here, too. But these are the locations of the 33 large nuclear power reactors in our region. This brochure has the national map inside it, so feel free to take one to see them all. But most of the reactors in the United States are east of the Mississippi River. I think it's close to 90%, 85%.
Mary, let me say one thing I forgot to say. I live in Ray County, where the Watts Bar nuclear plant is.
And
they, have one reactor there, and they're talking about building another.
This is in the wrong place, by the way. I need to move it, and I keep forgetting when I fold it up that I need to do that, because it should be, where should it be? It should be, anyway.
Maybe just, I was thinking that big one was it. Yeah, because it's a little further that way.
Just be your right.
Okay. Yeah, I need help.
Those guys down there, you need to move that up. Yeah, it's basically, it's 10 mile.
Yeah, okay, all right. This is kind of nuke central, because these are bomb factories. My kids helped me make this map. I'm a stepmom, and they were my young new kids, teenagers, and we made this map together. And so I always have to say that Cyrus calls these red broccolis. So the bomb plants are the red broccolis. But this is Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and this is the Savannah River site across the river from Augusta, Georgia, in South Carolina. So not that far from Columbia. 33 large reactors in our region. And the red ones, we may hear a little bit yet today, and we have a session Saturday morning on talking about the crossovers between the weapons complex and the commercial side. And the key to that is the plutonium fuel program. And so these reactors are labeled with the little bomb signal symbol because they're intended to burn bomb fuel. And this one in Tennessee is labeled with it because they're actually making nuclear weapons materials in Tennessee. Exactly what we don't want North Korea and Iran to be doing, but we're doing. So, the nuclear heartland, that's where we are. And now, these are the intended new reactors that have been officially reported to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. I'm not saying they're all gonna happen, we're gonna stop them. And I'm not saying they're the only ones, they're not. But these are officially on the books, and I actually haven't updated it yet because I think that there's a couple that aren't there. Right here in Georgia, they're actually moving into a licensing process, and I need to get up into Maryland because we have another reactor up near DC, just off the top of the map, called Calvert Cliffs, that is also in licensing. And up in Virginia, the North Anna reactors are in a licensing process. So this is not a someday, maybe it's happening now.
Now,
there's another point we have to make. Again, this map may change. I'm not saying it's the way it is, but the red states are the states where new nuclear power reactors are being ordered. So this is us. It's our job. We got coal too, but this is us. And why? Got a question?
I was just going to say, what about like finishing, it's like at Watts Bar, they just approved to finish the building in the second reactor.
Yeah.
Right. Those, that's...
Gotta get Tennessee colored is what she's saying, Mary.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I will get the red marker out this afternoon and we will definitely
color
put...
in Tennessee.
We will color in Tennessee. Thank you. But I want to just now quickly start with really what is the fundamental issue about nukes. I mean, we're going to talk about radiation, we're going to talk about the fuel chain, we're going to talk about all those things. But the real fundamental issue, and I know you will agree with me, Jim, is the money. Because the reason that this region is where it's happening, you know, some people look at this map and they say, oh, they think we're still dumb. You know, no. It's because every other part of the country has managed to take some steps towards busting up the monopoly on making electricity and distributing electricity and selling electricity. In this region, we still have corporations that are allowed to do all those things, and they're supposedly regulated by the state through the public utility commissions. But you don't have a choice. When you go to pay your electric bill, you don't get to pick which company you're going to buy your electricity from. You have a choice to put solar panels on your roof or to go off the grid by not using any power and living in a yurt. But if you want to plug in, you only have one provider that you're offered. Everywhere else in the country, there's been various steps towards breaking up that monopoly. And it's Wall Street who's saying, don't even bother trying to build a nuclear power reactor in an area where people have a choice. Because, why? Nuclear power is not profitable. The only way to do nuclear is to socialize it. And this was actually a key point in my development as an activist, because I've been working for Nuclear Information Resource Service, NIRS, NIRS, they're all the same group, since 1991. And in 1995, my boss was quoted in the press as having said something, and I can't even remember what it was. But I stormed into his office, and I said to him, he hates it that I call him my boss, but he is. So, you know, it's just livid. And I said, how dare you say that? It's really bad precedent in case they ever build another reactor. And his response to me was, oh, they'll never build another reactor. I said, why not? And he said, because we've got the economic barriers so high. And how did we do that? We'll get into that in a minute. Gotta keep myself honest here. Basically through a lot of regulations and a lot of laws passed to make things much more expensive, plus it was so damned expensive to begin with. So he was confident of that in 1995. But in 1995 I said back to him, don't fool yourself, they'll just socialize them. And why am I so sure of that in 1995? Because the root of this industry is the same root as the nuclear weapons industry. The two are, it's like, you know, Duke and Progress and TVA and Southern and all of them, they have coal plants and they have nuclear plants. They're not separate operations. They're the same operation. But when it comes to nuclear, the same corporations make bombs and the same corporations make reactors. So I want to stop for a minute and go into the details of that so that you really understand.
You should pull our Tennessee
on
your map.
I am going to. Just brought it moments after Reagan brought it to my attention.
Maybe shade California funky color.
Yeah. No. I'm not claiming it's the end of the story. Okay. I'm going to forget to say this, so I'm going to say it right this minute. I'm going to send this around with a pen because I'm doing a speaking tour this fall on No New Nukes. And I'm sure I'll rope some other people into it, so it's not just me. But if you have any desire to help make this happen in the region, even if you're not in the region, if you could help network or organize, would you put your name and contact information on the staff?
When is your speaking?
When? Throughout the fall, depending on who wants me where, when, it will be put together. But it'll be a bunch of loops because I live in the Asheville area, so I'll loop in and out. So uranium is on this planet, and it's not part of what life needs. Life cycles the things it needs. So the most part, uranium has been buried by life until we came along and we decided to dig it up. The dominant form of uranium, you can't put in a nuclear power reactor and make energy out of, because it doesn't split easily. And to me, it's some kind of a cosmic joke that the half-life of that dominant form of uranium is the same age as this planet, 4.5 billion years. So it's almost like this cosmic joke that the planet gets to its 4.5 billionth birthday and boom, the nuclear age appears on the first, the barrier line of the first half-life of U-238, and plutonium is born in tonnage quantities. So I'm going to talk briefly about uranium and plutonium and what nuclear energy is. Basically, nuclear energy is steam technology from the 1800s being driven by atomic heat. They basically figured out how to split atoms and destroy cities, as Nagasaki was all those years ago in an instant. And then they felt guilty. When I say they, I have members of my family in that group. They felt guilty. And so they decided they would try and turn that incredible power towards, quote, peaceful purposes. But I can tell you right now, the results of splitting atoms are fragments called fission products, cesium and strontium and iodine. They're the little pieces of the nucleus of the atom that are left over. All this is in my handout, so don't worry about it. You can read it. But the little pieces that are left over after splitting the atom, you get two things, three things. Take a uranium atom that will split. That's the trace one, U-235. That trace one. So a lot of steps are involved in concentrating that U-235. So you get it up to somewhere where you can use it, like around 4% for making electricity, about 90% for making bombs. And when you split a uranium atom, you get neutrons, which are little particles that have lots of energy that can split other atoms. And so that's what the nuclear chain is. You get enough U-235 or another fissile material like plutonium together. You get a few neutrons starting out, and they start triggering this chain. So what comes with that is a massive release of heat, because the energy that holds the nucleus together has to go somewhere when it's broken. And so it comes out as heat. And then you also have the leftovers of the atom. It didn't get gone into the void. The pieces are left over. And those are the new elements that were not there an instant before. They're the cesium, the strontium, the iodine that I already mentioned. They are all highly radioactive. They emit a lot of energy out of themselves. They cause a lot of biological damage at the cellular level that translates into things like cancer, birth defects, increased heart disease, reduced immune function, longer laundry list than I have on the handout there, but they're listed because you need to know that we're making new radioactivity. My mother thought we were using up radioactivity by using uranium. No. You take uranium, you split it, and you get millions of times more radioactivity. And the long and the short is there is no such thing as a peaceful atom that's been split. The results of splitting atoms are violent no matter where it is. Now, we can harness that violence for the purposes of medicine. If you have cancer and you need radiation treatment, you're harnessing that violence as a weapon against the cancer. But it is violence. There is no such thing as a peaceful atom that's been split. So these two industries, they're all about splitting atoms, they're all about making heat, either to vaporize people and plants and everything else, dogs and cats, spiders, you know, you name it, they were all in that cloud, that mushroom cloud is all those things. Or you put a clutch on it, and that's what a nuclear power plant is an atomic bomb with a clutch on it. And the clutch is a way to make it so that when you split one atom, you only split one other atom. So you're not doing this incredible chain explosion that a nuclear weapon is. You're instead creating a quote-unquote steady state situation that's very safe and it's very clean and it's very peaceful. But what's happening is they're generating this large amount of heat and they're just boiling water. And the water is making steam and the steam is turning a turbine and the turbine is making electricity. And quite frankly, we have much more sophisticated, gentle, sweeter, nicer, and more cost-effective ways to do this today. So the idea that nuclear power is the solution to climate change will be unfolded in more detail in a workshop Saturday afternoon called Nukes and Climate, where we'll go into it. And also Friday evening on the Fall Solutions panel, we'll have a quick rundown on it. But basically, I want to tell you right now that this is the most expensive way to boil water. Boiling water is not the most efficient way to make electricity. Massive amounts of heat are created in this process. They have this coolant running through the whole system, and they take the coolant out and, as I say, generate steam from it, turns the turbine, make the electricity. Well, two-thirds of the heat that is made by splitting atoms is just discharged, just released to our environment as waste heat. They aren't even doing cogen. I mean, it's so upside down and backwards. And so when you talk about climate change, the top villain really is, in terms of, you know, greenhouse effectiveness, is water vapor. So you see this massive amount of steam coming out of these nukes and coal plants, and that water vapor is contributing to greenhouse effect, plus the thermal energy itself is contributing to greenhouse effect. So basically, the problem is thermal pollution, combined with very bad economics. If you put a dollar into nuclear, okay, new plant, we're gonna put a dollar there. Now, new windmills, okay, put a dollar here. You're gonna get 3 times more electricity out of the windmill than the new nuke, so 3 times the ability to reduce coal burning out of the windmill than the nuke. But now take your dollar and put it into energy efficiency and cogeneration, and you're going to get 7 to 10 times more reduction of emissions out of your dollar into energy efficiency and cogeneration. And distributed generation. I really want people to learn that word. Distributed generation means making the power where it is being used. Because our incredible grid, we may not want to get rid of it right away, but it's sucking power out of itself. I mean, it's just like dropping it all along the way. And so centralized power production is really the wrong idea. Making the power where we use it. You go off the grid, great. But if you don't, it could be good too. So that's a new direction. All right. A couple more minutes. So I'm going to go back to the uranium again. Uranium is in the ground. I'm going to tell a little story. I was at what was it called? Mole Lake. I think it was Mole Lake Reservation. It was the first Indigenous Environmental Network gathering in 1993, maybe, on high-level nuclear waste because the Native American peoples were being targeted by the federal government to take the high-level nuclear waste, which is the fuel rods that are inside that reactor core generating all that heat. After about 3 years, they get taken out. And they're now high-level waste. And they're the most concentrated waste of radioactivity on the planet. Irradiated fuel has 95% of the radioactivity of the entire nuclear age that we have been working with since 19, whatever year you want to say it started, Marie Curie, go back that far. The nuclear age in the United States, 95%, and this is a figure that's 10 years old, so it's probably even higher percentage, is in the irradiated fuel from making electricity. nuclear weapons production, research, industry, all those things combined are 5% of the radioactivity, and this is 10 years ago. We haven't been making weapons, so the percentage that's from making electricity is even higher. So we're making a few weapons, but not at the industrial scale. So anyway, I'm at this reservation, I'm at this meeting. There's a Native American woman from the Shoshone Nation there. I know that she's being targeted because she's in Nevada, and Nevada has been the place that this incredibly concentrated nuclear waste was supposed to go. And so I reached out to her, and I went up to her, and I said, you know, this sounds like real bummer stuff. It's really a drag, all this stuff about bombs and terribly poisonous waste. And I said, but you're going to meet wonderful people if you get involved. And she said to me, I know. And I said, how do you know? And she said, it's a law of the universe. And she said, unlike Judeo-Christian people, we Shoshone know that the universe is always balancing itself. It's not a question of it should be in balance, it is in balance. And uranium in the ground is neutral, but when it's dug up by human beings, it becomes more and more negative, and when it gets put in a nuclear power reactor, it becomes the most negative thing on the planet. He said, the universe will balance this in a number of steps, but the most quick immune system response is for all the most positive people to drop what they're doing and pay attention to it. So I want to tell you that I really thought last night, if you were here for the fire circle, that Ned was really a little bit over the top when he said, I work 24 hours a day. I party 24 hours a day because there's absolutely nothing better than feeling like you're getting traction and engaging something that is so important. I guess is the way to say it, so important. And so I just want to, you know, not go on and on, but I do want to now tell the story of plutonium, and then we can hear some other stories of, you know, what does all this mean? So that uranium that's dug out of the ground, in the ground, the Shoshones believe it's neutral, we bring it up. It's mostly U-238, that 4.5 billion year half-life that won't split, right? So what good is it? Well, you put it into a reactor and there's all these neutrons bouncing around. There's all these neutrons bouncing around inside the reactor core because all the uranium-235 atoms are splitting. Well, you've got all this other uranium sitting there. Well, sometimes a neutron gets absorbed by one of these old 4.5 billion half-year life uranium atoms, and a mystical thing happens. Just like when you break the U-235, you end up with a transformation and you have elements that weren't there before. You have the cesium and the strontium and the iodine, the little fission products that are so radioactive. Now, instead, you have uranium-238, boom, neutron goes to plutonium-239. Happens to be designer plutonium, okay? It's what every bomb maker on the planet loves. And it's being made daily in each and every one of these bombs, bomb factories, okay? That's the truth.
And the radioactive signs?
Oh, the radioactive signs are symbolizing all the waste that's there. These are symbolizing reactors with cooling towers, which they don't all have. It's just sort of a cartoon, you know. But these are the locations of 33 large nuclear power reactors in our region. So every single one of them is making it. So for those who are concerned about the future of the conflict side of the world, you know, nuclear power is the absolute cover for a nuclear weapons program. There is no way to use uranium as a fuel without generating plutonium. And the pile of, I wish Kevin was here, I don't know how many tons, but it's over 50,000 tons of high-level nuclear waste that's still sitting at each of these reactor sites, in part because some of us in this room have kept them from moving it through this 24-hour-a-day party that we conduct. Really, literally, we have kept the industry from moving the waste, and we need to continue keeping the industry from moving the waste, in part because Wall Street says they really don't want to invest in these sites, because this is where they want to do is add new reactors to these existing sites. They really don't want to do that until the waste is moved. So I feel like I've taken my time and we can get into the waste part in a more of a discussion mode. And the handout has more things in it, so new people have that. So I want to turn to you, Jim, and you, Glenn, and anybody else here who wants to offer a nugget before we do discussion and questions.
Well, have a nugget. We were sitting around with Nabel last night, and he was asking, why do you think nukes aren't sexy anymore? And Jim had some cogent remarks to make, and I had some cogent remarks to make. And when I hooked up with Mary later, Mary said that her take on it was, we won. We have 100 reactors now, but there were 2,000 planned. And we never celebrated our victory fully because, you know, we are up against it because it is so incredibly big of a deal and all the waste, and it's an ongoing concern. But I think it's really important to say we were so effective, you know, that I thought that was a really great answer.
And I haven't said that it's been over 30 years. The last reactor to be ordered that was actually built and not canceled was your nuke, Watts Bar. And it's sitting there, and it's, what, 33 years since it was ordered. So there has not been a new reactor ordered, and we don't yet have an order. We have license activity, but not yet a new order.
Although there are places that are moving closely. The problem is when you're ordering a reactor, it takes a long time. And there are only one or two places on the planet where you can actually do the forgings large enough to create the pressure vessels, the steel crucible that holds the radioactive core. And then there happens to be one in Japan and one in France. And so there are a couple of places that are kind of tiptoeing towards the edge of ordering new nukes. Now, Mary is dead right. These things are not economically viable. So what you see with all this propaganda is basically a handful of corporations trying to position themselves so that if the government does make money available, they'll be the first ones with their nose into government trough. You know, the guys that have already gone through the early site permitting process up in Virginia and down in the south and up in Illinois, the head of Dominion Energy said, if you were to order a new nuclear power plant, Wall Street would turn your bonds to junk and hedge funds would be knocking into each other trying to short your stock. Because just, it doesn't add up. And if you look at the numbers now, it doesn't add up. A couple months ago, my colleagues were hanging off a reactor in Finland, trying to block construction there because we'd already found out that they'd already screwed up construction.
And you mean literally hanging?
Literally hanging off the side of the reactor. Okay. And off of the power cranes and things of that sort. Because they've already screwed up construction. And this is the highly touted French. You know, the French supposedly know how to do nukes. No, they don't. They just are better at propaganda. And it's a much more closed society.
They're socialized nukes, though.
Yeah.
Harold, do you want to come sit over here?
But the fact is, we do have a few places that are looking at new reactors. And if the government will pony up the money, you know, these corporations aren't against taking a handout.
Right. Well, and TVA isn't actually a corporation.
TVA is a special beast.
A public utility that's actually part of the federal government. So.
And TVA, we have some things in our advantage with TVA,
right?
Because they spent so much money on the previous generation of reactors,
right.
They're still between 26 and 30 billion in debt from the previous generation of reactors. So they can't, in reality, they can't even afford a new nuke. A new nuke is gonna cost almost $5 billion. But they are moving in the process they can get the money from the federal government to.
Yeah.
And actually, one more bit and we'll let it go. And because I'll sound like conspiracy theorist, but I don't care. Who's going to make money on the new reactor orders?
The corporations.
No. They're going to be basically taking the money from the government, and they're going to be handing it over to a handful of large construction companies. Those construction companies are Bechtel, Kellogg Brown and Root, which just happens to be Halliburton, Stone and Webster. Am I missing there may be another architect engineer out there that I'm missing. They're the ones that are going to actually get the money.
Yeah.
The corporations are just going to take the money and hand it over to them to build.
Right. What was that last one?
Floor Daniels. There's a bunch of them. It's all in the back of NRC's information digest. Guys who actually build the things.
Right.
You know, do you really want the guys that built the big dig up in Boston, they came and built a tunnel? You want to build the reactors again?
And there's lots of gory stories about what a bad job they've done. We can get into all that. Get me over a meal. I'm glad to do it.
Mary.
But I want to tell one little joke that I just got. No, really, I collect these cosmic jokes. And I told you about the cosmic joke of the planet's age and the half-life of uranium. But the number there, if you just take the number, was 4.5 billion. How much did it cost to build the two Vogtle reactors?
6.8.
We always say 9 billion for two reactors.
That's right. Okay.
So for, but sorry to put you on the spot. Sorry to put you on the spot. But what's half of 9?
4.5.
And put the unit on there?
Billion.
It's a joke, isn't it? Okay. You can collect these little jokes. They're pretty funny how often they come up in this line of work. Secret is-